Hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven levels of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Rittimer. And if you're one of those founders listening today, especially from level five, you're leading a team of executives, your business is running strong, reports are coming in, compliance is handled, the machine is moving, and everything looks like it should be good. But you're still not confident that you're making the right decisions. And there's still something bothering you, not just about financial clarity, but how it's going to show up in the organization. Well, if that's you, you are not alone. It's a common challenge in this level. And here to help us out and solve it is Jonathan Maharaj, who is a financial thought leader and founder of Aurora Financials based in New Zealand. For over 20 years, he's worked as a CPA across auditing, consulting, and strategic finance, helping founders, executives, listed companies, and global brands focus on what truly matters. He helps leaders see the story behind their numbers so they can move faster with more confidence and have fewer financial blind spots. Jonathan, welcome to the show from the other side of the world, here with us bright and early. Well, thanks for being here. Really happy to have you on. Excited for this conversation. I want to start with a question here because you've had the opportunity to walk into meetings with boards, with executive teams, and there's this situation where the financials can look okay. Maybe the compliance checklist is there. Folks are kind of doing what they're supposed to from a process standpoint. And no one can quite put a finger on it, but there's just not the confidence that they need. What's going on there?
This level that, thank you for having me, Scott, firstly. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to speak with you and also share insights with your audience. This level is really crucial because your business or your organization is scaling fast. And the challenge that a board has is that a board governs, a board does not operate. And I call that a challenge, mainly from an information asymmetry point of view. The operators of the business who are at this stage, most likely to be your senior executives, your middle level management, and actually your staff, the front line, they're the ones who have access to the most up-to-date information. They know what's happening. You know, they know that a project's going to go over budget. But at the board level, you only get access to what you get given by management, unless you have concerns about what's happening. And so I think, the topic that we'll talk about today is really interesting and valuable because in your gut, you know that something is just not adding up, you know, based on, you know, your experience as the founder who started from the very beginning and started to scale it and you know the metrics and it just doesn't make sense. Or an independent board member who's coming in with relevant industry insights and things just, you can't put your finger on it, but you know that there's something missing from the story that you're getting from the numbers you're being presented.
Yeah. How do you start to chip away at that? Because it's a really big divide, and it's one that I think a lot of founders struggle with because, you know, if they look back over the history of the organization, most of it, they were right there. They were in the thick of it. They didn't have to worry about what was getting filtered to them or what wasn't. Mm-hmm. So with a founder who's now kind of struggling with that gap and wondering if they're actually getting the information that they need or if it's getting filtered more than it should. How do you help folks to start to chip away at that?
I think the first thing is really to get to the root cause of the issue. And a lot of times, many founders, they are focused on the symptoms. So for example, right, sales may be less or sales may have fallen this quarter compared to projections, right? I would say that is a symptom. I don't think that is a root cause. The root cause is further down the channel. Was there something that happened with the quality of our products or our services? What is our, you know, what are our customers saying? And the thing I say is like, as the founder, as the business scales, the founder really gets detached from the day-to-day running of the business, right? And so my goal with them is, you know, you don't have to go back onto the front line, but you do need to kind of walk the shop, as they say. You still need to kind of figure out, hey, when I was on the tools building this business, this was how we did it. What's changed significantly? And if sales is the issue, if sales is down, then, you know, typically management at this level, it becomes political, right? And I want to share this because we do auditing, right? And I am an auditor. That was my first job at PwC. And even in our firm today, we do audit, accounting, tax consulting, right? Which gives us the 360 of what's happening. So I always have this auditor mindset when there's issues. And we've always been trained to have this level of professional skepticism where you trust, but you verify. And so when there's an issue as a founder, typically there's three buckets that I'd put them in, right? There's either it's the system issue, it's a process issue, or it's a people issue. And I would say in most of my experience, it's the people issue, because you can have an amazing system, you can have an automated process that, you know, does everything perfectly, but you still need people to press the right buttons and to do things right. And as you scale at this particular level, the hardest thing to scale is culture and having the right people with you that had the same vision that you had when you started, had the same genuine care for your customers, had the passion and drive to kind of go above and beyond, you know, the job description. Because as you get bigger, you know, the office politics starts getting introduced as well. Whereas when you were at the founder level, when you were building it, it's just you and your customer. There's no gap between, you know, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. But the bigger you get, people tend to start self-preserving. So what that means is that because you have a, say, stable or secure job, even though job security, there's no such thing as job security, jobs can go at any time if markets change, people tend to preserve or self-protect, you know. So if things are going wrong, rather than escalating it promptly and, you know, getting the heat for, hey, you were the manager, why did this happen on your watch? People tend to go like, oh, you know, things will sort themselves out, and until they don't. Until things get bigger. And then, you know, by the time the board starts sensing that something's wrong, the horse has basically left the stable, right? It's out there in the wild and they've got to rein it in. And it's hard. It's hard to do that. So, I mean, founders do still need to be quite close to the business and quite close to the customers. And I think the customers is an important one because they can give you unfiltered feedback on what's happening.
I think that's really good. And one of the things that I like to see founders at this level do is, if you kind of look at the history, systematically, we've been moving them further and further from the front line, right? They used to do it, then they manage the people who do it, then they lead the people who manage the people who do it. Now they're leading the executives who lead the people who manage the people. And it can create so much of a gap that two things happen. One, this kind of information problem that you're describing. But then for a lot of founders, they started the thing because they love the thing. And so not only do you start to lose some of the information, but you can lose the love for whatever it is that you do in the first place. And so what I like to see them do is to create space, and it looks different for everyone, to get back to the front line because you can, not because you have to. Right. So you don't have to be the one, you know, soldering pipes, you know, when they burst, you know, at 3 a.m. or whatever it might be. But giving yourself an opportunity to be close to it again, I think is so helpful from an emotional perspective and from a financial or informational perspective. Would you agree?
Scott, the point that you really are touching on is that leadership changes as the business grows bigger. And I don't mean the fundamentals of what makes a really good leader changes, right? You know, so servant leadership, empathy, providing good feedback, all of those things, those ingredients still stay. But I think the type of leadership changes mainly because you are not now leading every single frontline worker directly. You are now leading and influencing, you know, your first degree of management, and hopefully through them and their values, beliefs, culture, and alignment with the organization and you who hired them, will be able to kind of perpetuate the same culture and beliefs across the organization, right? And I think the key thing here is, as leaders, and this is I don't know if this is scientific or not, but it's just my experience. The bigger the organization, the more dysfunction there is. And the reason for that is because you get to a certain level where executives are very well paid. And, you know, you as the founder, you've kind of checked out of the organization, mainly because, you know, when you were in the early stage or the grind or the hustle, as people call it, like, you're there, you know, 24/7. If something breaks with the pipe, if it's plumbing, you are there on the front line. Your customers see you. you build the value, but now you're relying on others to do that. And I think that you get to a certain level as the founder that you just can't be everywhere always, and you need people, and you have to trust that they'll do good. And this is why I say it's really hard to scale culture. But what I've seen in organizations is that, you know, if you have the right person and you have the right values, you treat your people well, you'll be able to attract the right kinds of managers and people into your organization, right? Because, you know, if there's an issue, or people, your people know that you will handle it transparently, consistently, and fairly, you know, and that, you know, it, what does that mean as a leader? It doesn't mean that you sugarcoat everything, but it means that you think about the people that are working with you, your loyal staff. And if market conditions change and you have to restructure the business, you have to let people go. You know, for me, it's always the hardest decision as, say, a CFO or somebody who's supported founders in turnarounds, because behind the numbers is people. And that's why I'm saying, when you look at the numbers, you think about the story, like, how did we get here? What did people do? What decisions did they make? What families will be impacted by this? And you have to be upfront. You have to say, look, guys, we're doing the very best to save as many jobs as we can, but these are the circumstances that we're facing. And I feel, you know, at this level, leaders, they still need to lead, but it's leading differently.
From this kind of auditor perspective, where do you see this go wrong? So founder, again, I think it's pretty safe to say for the vast majority of them, there's a base assumption that they really care about the work that they do. But like you said, as organizations grow, and this is like shocking for me, even though I'm in this world, to still say it, but it's like the idea that businesses get more dysfunctional as they grow is so true, but it feels like it's the opposite. It feels like it's more put together. It feels like we're doing more of the right things. It feels more mature. Where do you see that kind of disconnect show up, especially from an auditing perspective?
I think the key thing is, a lot of times when we're thinking about issues, we focus on what we call internal controls, right? And the version of internal controls that we have is often described as a hard set of internal controls, right? So you'd have two people or three people signing off checks or bank payments before they go out, right? You have layers of, you know, preparer, reviewer, approver, that kind of thing, right? And all of those things, those mechanisms, I would say, fall into the systems and processes bucket, right? Those things are easy to fix. I think the challenge when it comes to really this part of scaling is the soft controls, you know, the psychological safety of workers, the alignment of values and beliefs, right? Whether your people are actually okay, are they worked to the bone? Are they, you know, is it unsustainable? And maybe this is an issue of sustainability as you're trying to scale and grow faster. There's a physical limit on how much your people can do, how many boxes they can pack. Do we need to invest in automation, right? And I think the soft control side, or the people side, is really the shift in the leadership. So at the early stage, right, the founder is really focused on building the business and making the customer happy. And that's all around the systems and processes. Then as you start scaling, you're getting more people. Now you're getting investor funding. Now your reputational risk is the highest concern that you have, because investors don't like what you're doing. It's going to be in the media. It's going to affect the next round, your next business, your legacy, all this stuff, right? And I think, you know, as you get to this phase, that's what complicates it. That's what makes it a bit dysfunctional, because it's no longer just one-to-one, you and your customer, without all of this other stuff. There's now more stakeholders involved. And I feel, as a founder, the key thing is to get the right people on the bus with you, right? Because if you trust that they'll do the right job, if they're competent, if they are paid well, if they have got very clear KPIs. And KPIs, I think, is where the founders and the board can really start shaping what they want to see. So, for example, right, if you want to see, you know, if your net promoter score is low, and most of the complaints that you get is really about your contact center or some other thing, right? People are waiting in the queue for too long, right? So you make sure that every single level from top to bottom has a KPI that's related to solving that level of root cause. And when everyone is aligned, and I really bring it back to like the soft controls probably will be stronger than the hard controls, because if everyone is incentivized to make sure that the net promoter score goes up, because a higher net promoter score means, you know, your Google reviews, your, you know, Glassdoor ratings, all of this stuff increases, and you're able to attract more customers, then everybody is going to put in the extra effort because they know there's a link between doing stuff and getting the incentives, right? If the link is broken, people will be like, you know, why should I do 20% more if there's no certainty that I'll get this bonus? So, you know, the dysfunction really is trying to manage all of these different interpersonal situations and people and behaviors and stakeholders while trying to just put everything, you know, keep everything coherent and growing together.
It's so much and so little all at once. It really is a lot to think about and a lot to do, but you have to keep your eye focused in a very narrow window. Now, Jonathan, there's this question that I have that I ask all my guests. I'm interested to see what you would have to say to it. But the question is this: what is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish every founder watching or listening today knew?
I think every founder starts a business focused on, you know, the vision of how this company is going to be amazing. And, you know, you start off with such enthusiasm. You invest your savings, your family is supporting you and all of that. But I think the biggest secret is, and this is just from experience, is that business is hard. It's messy. You know, it takes a lot of courage. You face a lot of risk. In the US, there's a lot of litigation as well. You know, somebody scratches their finger and all of a sudden it's a lawsuit and, you know, all of this other stuff. And so you've got to manage all of these things. So I think, you know, using my auditor background, like, go in with a level of professional skepticism. Still believe, still walk with faith, still, you know, do your best, but have a realistic approach, right? You know, like, look at the market first. They're really big players in there. Like, you will be crushed. You've got to fight asymmetrically. You've got to do things differently. And I think if you spend more time doing the planning and the thinking and the self-reflection of really this is where I can fight and play better, I think you'll do really well, because business is hard. And I feel like if you're realistic about it, your chances of not being in the statistic of what 20% of startups that fail in the first year and 80% in 15 years, you can break that trend. So go for it. Just keep doing your best, but, you know, just keep your eyes open to changing market conditions.
Yeah. Jonathan, there's some folks listening that would love help just navigating this space, particularly from a financial perspective. Where can they reach out to you and find more out about the work that you and your team do?
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, or you can just come to my website, which is www.jonathanmaharaj.com. And it's got my contact details there, but happy to continue the conversation. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for being on the show. It was really a privilege and honor having you here. And for those of you watching and listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Hey everyone, Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for the level you're in right now. If you want to discover what level you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, or review. It helps us reach more founders like you. And let's be honest, it means a ton to me, my team, and all our incredible guests. So keep starting, scaling, and succeeding. And I'll see you in the next episode.